Welcome to the Modern Carnivore Podcast, a guide for those interested in hearing more about hunting, fishing, and other paths to eating more responsibly. Now, here's your host, Mark Norquist.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this new episode of the Modern Carnivore Podcast. If you are new to this podcast, welcome. And if you have been here before, you know the deal. We're here to talk about wild food and the ways that you can get out and harvest that food yourself, whether it's foraging, hunting, or fishing. And today we've got a really great conversation with three individuals, Tekoa Cochran, Chance York, and Hassanan Mohammed. These are new friends of mine. We met last year, and they were part of a recent mentored grouse hunt that we held in northern Minnesota. This was a very special grouse hunt, which was a partnership between Minnesota Land Trust, Pheasants Forever, Backcountry Hunters and Anglers, Camp Olson YMCA, and many more to make it happen. And you'll hear in today's conversation how much fun we had at this event. And, you know, well, you know, maybe you might think, okay, it's just the nature of the event. You're going to have a good time. I got to tell you, we've done these a lot, and this event was really special. There was just something in the air. Everybody was a stranger, and we had phenomenal mentors, wonderful new hunters, and everybody very much brand new to the outdoors who was on the new hunter side of things. And we had some success on top of it. So we're going to talk about it today here in the conversation and give you a little insight into how that weekend went and why these three individuals wanted to start hunting. And hopefully you can relate to it. And if you are interested in joining us on one of these events at some point in the future, feel free to reach out. Just shoot me a note at mark@modcarn.com or check out the other information we've got at modcarn.com. Okay, we are coming to you from Maple House in Excelsior, Minnesota. Joined tonight by a few friends of mine. And I'd like them to introduce themselves so you know who they are. I'm going to start with to my right here.
Hey, my name is Hassanan Mohammed, and I am the executive director of the Minnesota Somali Community Center. Father of five, live in Brooklyn Park. Been in Minnesota for the past 23 years, originally from Somalia.
Nice. Yeah. My name is Chance York. I really struggle with describing who I am succinctly, but director of Peace and Practice, a nonprofit yoga and mindfulness movement, host of PBS series Outside Chance, father of four, Bloomington resident, and Timberwolves fan.
My name is Tekoa Cochran. I'm from Minnesota. I currently live in Brooklyn Park, Minnesota. Mother of four, grandmother of one.
Hey.
I'm CEO, founder of The Village VP. Just happy to be here.
I'm happy you are here also. So the reason we're here is to talk a little bit about and sort of recap our grouse camp. And it's taken a while. It's taken a few weeks, so hopefully we can remember what happened there. But Tekoa, maybe start with you. What?
So we're going to ask me what happened.
Don't spoil it.
I don't remember.
No, we actually had a lot of fun. I believe that we all gained experience, made friendships, bonds, and things like that, and just really got that outdoor experience and, you know, gained those skills, those hunting skills.
So why did you want to go to this thing? I mean, have you hunted before?
So I've never hunted before. My father hunted, my grandfather, you know, other males in my family, us women just never went, you know? And so I just wanted to take advantage of this experience because I've never experienced it, right?
Yeah.
And I just think that learning those life skills mm-hmm. is really important.
Did Fartoon tell you about it? How did you find out about it?
Hassanen. Hassanen
did.
Yeah.
Chance, how about you? How did you find out about it?
Well, I think I almost went to the one last year.
Yeah, you did.
It was through conversations with you. We had first started talking when you'd seen a couple episodes of my show, I believe. And we were just talking about potential ways to collaborate. And yeah, a year ago, you're like, we're doing this thing. And it just really didn't work with my schedule. And then this year, you were like, here's the date. And I was like, yeah, I can do that. It works out. And then you were like, nope, we're changing the date. And I was like, I don't think I can make it anymore. But then 2 days prior to the trip, I realized I had a prior work engagement at a camp that was really close to where grouse hunting camp was, and realized I could make both things work. So why I wanted to do it was a lot like Tekoa said, like it's really valuable skills. I'd never been hunting. I have family members that hunt, but and neighbors and, you know, friends and stuff that have done it for a long time. But I just like new experiences. I love birds. I love being outside. And it just seemed like a good time.
Let me ask you a question. You just said something interesting that I think non-hunters have a tough time getting their head around, or as they like to say, not yet hunters, because mm-hmm. everybody can choose to start at some point. You said, I love birds.
I love birds.
Okay, so if you love birds, mm-hmm. why would you want to go kill them?
You know, I don't want to spoil too much of the weekend, but there was more conversations about birds and conservation and guns and dogs than I'd like ever been exposed to. But like, people that hunt really do love the birds. Like, you have to care a lot to go through the measures that it takes to make sure that the habitat is protected so that these birds can continue thriving. So even though you go out and shoot a bird, you know, or you're really good and you get multiple, there's still many that survive and go on to live. But if you destroy the habitat, nothing survives. So the effort of conservation is so important. And people that really care and want to see these birds keep thriving so they can shoot them or just see them really play a big role in making sure that land is viable for the, you know, protecting habitat. Because, you know, that's the whole idea of like regulated hunting, is that there's an understanding of how many birds and stuff there are. So nobody's taking too many, so that that guarantees that the population will survive. But if it's getting land developed or whatever, nobody is considering what lives there or how future generations are going to survive. So I love birds. I live by the river in Bloomington, like Usan, and it's actually like people travel from all around to bird watch in my neighborhood, which is an added perk. But I've been fascinated with birds for a long time. And once again, not to spoil too much, when I saw a grouse, a ruffed grouse for the first time on this trip, I was kind of, my breath was taken. It was like it's a beautiful thing.
You said something else there that was interesting, and I guess a question in the group, and then come back to you, Hassanen. But regulation, you said regulated hunting. A lot of people who haven't gone hunting don't realize that there are regulations. They sort of have this thought that, oh, you just go out and you shoot something. Was there any surprise with any of you that there was a lot of regulation around it, that it's controlled, or is that something you sort of knew?
I mean, I knew that there was some type of regulation around it, but I was really happy that those were one of the learning tools that, you know, was provided to us, you know, before we even went out. So that was pretty good.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah, from somebody who comes, you know, as a, you know, immigrant community, right? We come from a society where, you know, the type of hunting, carrying guns, we expect it to be regulated, right? The kind of thing that we're missing, especially even we're much more educated or, you know, folks that are born here, is that there are lands out there that you're literally allowed to walk out and go and shoot birds, you know? Mm-hmm. So that is something that, you know, most of us don't even think, because we take personal properties like something very serious, you know? Mm-hmm. We just don't walk around somewhere and just shoot,
yeah,
you know? But that was an interesting thing where when we got the maps and we could see like public lands and we can just walk in and try and find birds to shoot, you know? So that's kind of new because,
It's the Durrell talked about on Saturday morning when he had his session, talked about the North American model of wildlife conservation. Mm-hmm. It's a very unique perspective on that of having public lands, but also the right and ability to go out mm-hmm. and take game that is held in the public trust.
Yep.
You know, if you have wild game, wild animals on your land, you don't own them just because they're on your land. They're held in the public trust, which I think is sort of a unique concept that can be hard to get your head around if you're not familiar with it, maybe.
Yeah, and I usually tell people, like, you know, you don't. A lot of the individuals will suffer from tunnel vision because of their experiences based on what they see. But if you come from other places and you've seen what other people do, and then you come here, yeah, they allow you to shoot birds, but they're conserving. They're giving grants for people who own lands to cut down trees and make sure that they create habitat for these birds to come and settle, and, you know. And then they also have, like, ways of finding out if, you know, the birds' population are high or they're low, you know, that they can tell the hunters, oh, you know what, cool it down a little bit, you know, or go ahead and, you know, get. And then the other thing is even the amount, you know, regulating the amount, you know, like, hey, you can only kill like X amount, you know, per day or X amount, you know, per trip, and that's it. You can't take more than what you need. You know, so those are good ideas, you know, and they show that, hey, you can go out there, enjoy hunting, get, you know, whatever animal you need for food, but at the same time, you don't want to deplete the environment, you know?
Right.
Yeah, absolutely. So, what was probably the biggest surprise? Was there anything that surprised you when you were there for the weekend in camp where you were just like, I never would have guessed that this...
I would say for me, it was finding out that I'm a left-hand shooter and not a right. I've been shooting right, like, ever since, you know, I've started. And so just figuring that out was pretty awesome and surprising. And then just how quick we all bonded and, you know, things like that. Like, I knew that we would bond, but it was, like, almost instantaneously. And so that was pretty neat.
It was that first night, I just sort of stood back. And I've done camps like this a lot, and it was just fun to see the buzz and the vibe of everybody mm-hmm. in that mm-hmm. cabin just yeah. hanging out and just connecting. And nobody knew anybody, yeah. probably, you know, hours before. Mm-hmm. And it did. It was just a really good feeling.
I would say the other thing that surprised me was, like, the family connections that happened there.
You and Durrell and me.
Yeah, right. You're my Norwegian side, he's my African American side. And that was really cool. And yeah. so to have you guys bring it full circle, like, this is why we're friends. We're family. That was pretty cool. Yeah.
Something that was surprising for me, you already touched on. I mean, like, public land, yeah. private land. Like, I was like, there's apps that you can look at. I was mm-hmm. like, that was very surprising to me. I'm like, I guess I didn't realize there were so many places where you could just pull off the road and go walking with your gun. Like, it made sense, but it never was mm-hmm. like a concrete thought in yeah. my head. Like, oh yeah, you can just pull off the road right here and go walking up that path. I thought that mm-hmm. was very,
Yeah, I mean, it's a weird concept when you're like, hey, you know, I've always been reserved about people, you know, property, and now I can go to any land and I'm carrying a long gun with me, you know?
Yeah.
And then, too, like just sitting back and thinking of how many people that don't know about this app that want to go out there and hunt on their own, but they just don't know that there's that public land or even how to find it, you know? Right. So just imagining how many people have been hindered from that experience not knowing about that.
Yeah.
And that is what's great about the technology is, you know, it provides that information that we never used to have. And, you know, when the population was, you know, where there were fewer people around, there was, you know, fewer people per square mile. You just sort of went out and there weren't real issues. More people, more development, it becomes more important that we know where those boundaries are. And you really don't have an excuse nowadays that I didn't know it was private or public, because you've got all the data is at your fingertips. It's pretty cool.
Now that's where I usually tell people, like, you might think it's common for people to know this stuff, but it's not.
Not at all. You know? Absolutely.
Yeah, because when you look at, you know, somebody like me, I'll say, okay, I'm well off, been here a couple years, you know, I know the culture, but I didn't know as much as what I learned on those couple of days that I was there, you know? And it opens up possibilities, you know? I have friends who now I talk to about, hey, why don't we buy a hunting land somewhere, you know? Mm-hmm. Build a cabin. You and I talked about that, mm-hmm. you know? How we can take folks out of the cities, you know, to cool off out there and, you know, enjoy, like, the wilderness and stuff. So it opens up, you know, a wide variety of, you know, visions and things that, you know, a normal person who was born here, their goal would be like, hey, let me get married, buy a house, maybe get a cabin up north. New immigrant group don't have that same sense, you know, because they're new. Yeah. So now This opens up that idea of saying, hey, you know, I want to maybe buy a land, build somewhere, you know, up there, enjoy life.
What are the benefits, you think, of being out in the wilderness?
Man, I could go on forever about those benefits, but I think it comes down to the fundamental truth that we are from nature, you know, like as many generations as we might be domesticated from nature, it's really, we are that, we are it. And the current, you know, health epidemics that we're facing in this country are related to lifestyle. So what we're eating, what we're doing with our body, you know, what we're putting in our body and what we're doing with our body are basically the causes of the majority of things that'll kill us. And when you just think of as simple as going outside, breathing fresh air, going on a walk, and listening to the sounds of nature and stuff, that's just like going home in a, you know, more broad evolutionary sense. That it just brings us back closer to our origins, and the documentation, the research is in, you know, like nature is good for people, and we're so separate from it, living in climate-controlled buildings with artificial light and, you know, unnatural sleep schedules and stuff like that. So just getting back to nature has a wealth of benefits mentally, physically, spiritually.
Yeah, I think that it helps out mental health disparities in a great deal, you know, symptoms and things like that, just being out in nature, connecting with nature, like Chance said. Also, too, there's just the education piece. I mean, I'm from Minnesota, and I cannot point out every animal that lives in the state, right? Mm-hmm. So just by being out there is an educational piece, like learning about different animals, learning about different terrains and things like that. And not only that, just learning life skills. I mean, hunting is a life skill, right? And so I think that those are the benefits from these types of, you know, trips and experiences.
Yeah, love it.
That comes back to the surprise piece where, like, we saw the woodcock and the ruffed grouse, and like I feel like I've seen all Minnesota birds and I'd never seen either of those, which was like, yes. What are these rare Pokemon that are, you know, like that. I was surprised at, like, because I feel like I've had a long life in nature, but there's still stuff to be found.
Yeah, absolutely, there's so much out there. So Hassan, describe your hunt. Like what happened?
It's a beautiful experience. Like I'll tell you this, you know, usually a lot of people talk about, hey, I want to go walk out and go in the nature and take a walk and come back home and relax. This was a great opportunity to learn and do that at the same time. Like, you know, Tekoa said it very well. You know, we talk about taking a break and stuff. When you and I talked about that, Tekoa, we said, like, this is an opportunity to, you know, cut the cord from what's going on back home and just enjoy it. And the good thing about it is we took people that we know who we appreciate their company, you know? So that was a plus. And then nature of men is to be competitive, knowing out that we're going out to hunt for birds. That's interesting for us, you know. Everybody, when we came back, were like, hey, how many did you kill? So that was a good thing, you know. And then, you know, it's a controlled environment, you know. So it's not wild, you know. We have a nice sleeping area, we're eating good, we're having good company. It's a safe environment. We go through the safety of the guns, what to do. You know, you have somebody who is well knowledgeable coming with you, so you're not just figuring things out by yourself, you know. So that's a big part, that, you know, it's a caveat to the experience itself. You know, you're not just figuring things out, because you don't want to be frustrated figuring things out by yourself. You know, when they were preparing the birds and stuff, if you're new and I give you a bird, you probably would not know how to prepare it, you know? But we had somebody who showed you how to do step by step. So that was a good thing.
So the hunting coaches were helpful.
Oh, absolutely.
100%. Oh, yeah. 100%. Yeah. Yes. I mean, that was what made it easy and safe and fun. And like, that's what made it fun, is because we didn't have to figure out.
And they, all of them had the best characters to be teachers.
They did. They really did.
I've never had one single complaint of somebody say, oh, I had the, you know, worst trainer or partner. You know, I didn't want to go with that person again. You know, so I'll give you A+ on that one.
Yeah.
You know, you did an assessment of character probably before sending them out with us.
Psychological profile.
Psychological profile.
Chance Tekoa, what describe your experience? You guys, no, you weren't together, were you?
Nope,
no, you were sitting here separate. So Chance, maybe how about what?
All right. Yeah. So the as I said before, I had a different work engagement that was like, just coincidentally, like 17 miles up the road or something. So I had to go take care of that. I missed the first half of the day, missed the first half of the hunt. But as I came back and met up with Randy, my experienced hunting mentor, he had already been out with another group walking this trail, and they had successfully flushed a few birds and got, like, they knew that there was birds on the trail. And they hadn't got one. Nobody had taken a shot or anything. But so when I went and met up with him, he was like, all right, let's go down this new, you know, neck of the trail that we haven't been down, just to see what's there. So we walked that whole way. We had limited time. I think I was only able to be out there for a couple hours. So we walked all the way down there. Didn't hear a bird, see a bird, nothing. I said, well, why don't we go back to the place where you'd already seen some? So we went and walked that, and, you know, didn't see one, didn't hear one. And, you know, based off of the strategy of, you know, being along the edge of a clearing, we kind of devised a thing to go off the beaten path and walk along the edge of this clearing. And we went, you know, we were bushwhacking pretty deep in there, and still I hadn't seen a bird or anything, and it was kind of the end of the day, we were going to call it. So just turning back around to go back to the trail, Randy almost stepped on a grouse, and it flushed it. I couldn't see him. We were kind of a distance apart. And he said, oh, you know, I flushed a bird. He's like, it should be this direction, you know. And he's like, where are you? And I'm like, I can see the trail up here. And we just kind of communicated for him to determine that it hadn't crossed the trail, so it had to be in a certain area. And sure enough, we spotted it in a tree, or he spotted it and was like, oh, I see it. He's like, walk to me, you know. So I'm just like stepping really slow, and like I come around the corner or around a tree and see this bird up in the tree. It had a long neck. It was majestic. I was like, holy cow, like, wow, like that's what it looks like? That's crazy. And it was kind of far away, so like I know we'd shot on the range earlier in the day, and you know, the not buckshot, but the BBs of the shot kind of spread. So I was like, could I hit it from here? Because it seemed like pretty far away. He's like, oh yeah, no problem. So it's a pretty long shot. I just took aim and hit it. It was one shot, one bird. It seemed all pretty surreal. It was happening really fast. And yeah, well, I went to pick up the bird and it was like warm and I was like, oh, yes. It felt very weird, you know, soft and like, you know, just the way that it moved felt really weird. And the fact that it was like warm and it was a lot. I felt very, you know, like a lot of things. Like first off, just seeing the bird made my day, and then killing it, you know, it was like success, even though, you know, I'm not big on like killing things, but I knew we weren't going to let it go to waste. I knew we were going to prepare it and eat it and everything. And I knew that was the reason we were out here. And I knew nobody else had gotten one from the report. So I was like, yeah, I'll get one of these. Just like Hassanan was saying, it's like, yeah, I got one. You know, like just that feeling of accomplishment and like, yeah. Like,
that was fun when you came into camp. That was, yeah. That was some energy.
Yeah, when he had that Target bag. Yeah. Like, he was like, I didn't go to Target.
Yeah. Somebody's like, what do you got in the bag? Because I can't remember where Randy was going. He had to put the dog away or something where I was going to get to camp first. And he had just had it in his bag. And he was like, here, put it in this. And he threw it in just like a Target bag, you know. So as I'm walking up, people are like, what's going on in there? I was like, well, I didn't go to Target. And they're like, what? So, yeah, I got to bust out a grouse, ruffed grouse.
Nice. How did it taste?
Amazing. Yo, yeah. It is so good. That meat is superior to chicken. For sure.
I'd agree.
And not gamey or anything. It's just like a very pleasant taste. And it's not a lot of meat. as Darrell would say, like upland bird hunting is not calorie efficient. Like you burn a lot more calories than you consume.
Yeah.
But it was a successful hunt. I got to use my shotgun. I think that was... I maybe shot it a couple times ever prior to that weekend, and then shot it a few more times when we were on the range. And
that's
then,
a family fire.
Yeah, my brother gave it to me, and he's had it for a long time, and So putting it to use, he was one of the first people I sent the picture of the bird to. He was like, "I'm proud of you," you know, like. He was always a hunter, but
you made a good use of it.
Yeah, no, that's what I'm saying. I put this. I know how to use it. You know, he was very stoked. Yeah, because he and one of my other brothers have a different dad, and they grew up in northern Minnesota where hunting was just a normal thing. They did all the stuff, deer hunting and bird hunting. But I grew up in the city where we didn't do that. So they had a bunch of guns and stuff. And so him gifting me that gun and then me showing that I could use it, he was real proud.
Hey, listeners, this is Mark, and I hope you're enjoying this episode of the podcast. I just wanted to let you know that in the coming days, we're going to open up registration for our upland bird hunting course on Hunting Camp Live. And this could be your opportunity to take part in a self-paced online masterclass with support from live interactive webinars and our outdoor mentor community. If this sounds like it might be something for you or maybe a friend who's been thinking about starting a hunt, just go to modcarn.com/uplandbirds to get more information. Now there's a limited class size, so make sure you check it out today so you can reserve your spot. Now back to the podcast. Were firearms a concern or issue for any of you? Was it something like, no, you were totally comfortable
being around? No, comfortable.
Yeah.
Yep, was uncomfortable.
Uncomfortable. It sounds, you know, like, but it looks kind of weird where you're having this two-shot gun, like, mm-hmm. just walking in trails in the bushes, like, you know, somebody who's used guns a lot, we usually, you know, conceal and carry, you know? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And now you have this long gun, like you're holding it, and you want to make sure, like, depending on where you are on the trail, you're not going to shoot that guy in front of you on the back, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of different.
Yeah.
It's a different way of carrying it and stuff. And then the weight surprised me. Mm-hmm. You know, after you walk for a while, you will notice the weight of the shotgun.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. You know?
Yeah,
I would say it was a little strange for me. Like I, you know, grew up in the city, so when guns are around, it was not a chill environment. You know, yeah. Like when guns were around, it wasn't like for recreation, and right. So I noticed that right away. You know, like I know people have really strong feelings about firearms, and it really has to do with your history of it. Like, so I've always seen them as tools and whatnot, but in my own history, you know, it still brings about anxiety or, you know, unsafe memories. So yeah, I mean, it was really good. Like I was saying, just the depth of the conversations from night one about hunting dogs, guns, conservation and birds. I just never heard so much depth in like passionate conversation about stuff I knew very little about, you know, like people really know their stuff. And that was cool. But yeah, hunting with that shotgun, because mine was pump action, but knowing like the break barrel, like that was for safety reason. Like when you're walking through when you're bushwhacking through this thick stuff and you can hardly see and your gun's getting stuck on stuff, you know, like I can see the benefits of having that break barrel. So there's no accidental, you know, that doesn't go off or whatever.
Yeah. It's a tough thing because, you know, with grouse hunting and woodcock hunting, if you have the action open or broken, it can be tough to get it ready in time for the shot. So sometimes even if you have a break action, you're going to be walking through with it closed. But that is the beauty of it, absolutely, is you can have it open. You know there's no way it can fire.
Yeah, see, I didn't have one of those. So my experience, you know, we were out there, you know, about 4 or 5 hours. And what I liked about my experience was I've had, you know, 2 neck surgeries this year.
I did not know this.
And so just being able to like hunt at our own pace was wonderful, right? Mm-hmm. So I really thank my mentor and those with me for just being patient, although I did keep up with them pretty well, right? And so I didn't have one of those ones that break. I actually borrowed one of Greg's, and it had like these little gadgets, like these little buttons on it. Like I teased him, I was like, is this a Civil War gun? because it was beautiful, but it looked really old, but it worked really, really well. I'll tell you that. So mine just had like this on off button. And the other thing that was good about it was he had a strap, so I was able to like carry it over my shoulder and things like that versus holding it like this, you know. So that really helped. And so I ended up killing a grouse too. And I made it back to camp before you guys, but we kept ours a secret.
I went up to their vehicle and I said, how was it?
I'm like,
phantom grouse. Yeah.
And it took everything for me to keep that straight face. As soon as we rolled out the window and walked away, we just busted up laughing. We're like, did he think, we think he bought it?
Totally,
he bought it.
I bought it hook, line, and sinker. I had no clue.
Yeah, so we had been walking on, you know, the trails. We had went, you know, what do you call it, bushwhacking? You know, like going through, like off the trail.
Off the trail.
Yeah. And so we did that. And so you know, we were getting ready to head out, and there was, you know, like that area where it looked right for, you know, where the birds are going to be. And all I hear was my mentor saying, there's one. And so I was amazed by how fast I got that gun up, hit that little button and shot, you know, and I actually shot before the guys in my group. So I got the first shot off. So, and it was actually recorded. So we went back and looked at it, and it's mine. I did.
It's mine.
But yeah, and then like you mentioned about holding it, like right after, you know, you shot it. The only way I can describe it is like, imagine someone who's never held a newborn baby,
yeah,
and you're just like, here. It's like, what am I supposed to do with this? That's the way I felt. I'm like, how am I supposed to hold this? What am I supposed to do with it? But yeah, it was a really good experience. I'm proud of myself. You know, I'm a confident person, but that gave me even more self-confidence, knowing that I had the ability to do that in that moment without hesitation.
Wow. Yeah, that's great.
And left-handed?
Left-handed. It was left-handed. Yep.
So was that helpful to do to be at the range doing some shooting in the morning?
You think absolutely.
Yes. For sure. Absolutely. Yes.
1,000%. You got the feel of the shotgun. You learn about the safety of it. You learn about projection of, you know, how the birds fly, you know, anticipating how to shoot them.
Those are all good things. We're trying to hit a moving target. You got to be real. You got to be.
I'm good. You know, you put me in a range, I'm, you know, a good shooter, but when you're dealing with, like, you know, a shotgun and item that is moving, it's a different kind of ball game.
Other people to your sight,
safety, fatigue from walking, you know?
Yeah.
So all of that plays a part in how you're reactive to birds, you know, showing up from, and you have that split second decision making you have to do, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
I was actually able to go real slow. I was like, I'm taking the safety off. All right, I'm gonna shoot. And I like gave him a play-by-play just to make sure I wasn't skipping anything.
Right. Yeah.
But I had a stationary bird, so it was it was a long shot, but it wasn't moving. So I mean, that made it a lot safer, in my opinion. Because the excitement of like not letting it get away and like maybe not taking the safest shot was a concern of mine. So I was already ready to, like, if I see a bird and the shot isn't safe, I'm not gonna take a shot, and already like accepting that. Right. But that was.
Now, can you imagine that bird is looking like Chew and is like, oh, I think he's walking away.
He's like, he can't hit me from here.
He doesn't see me.
I wouldn't have looked up. Of all the training that we had, nobody was like, they might go and hide in a tree. I never even thought of that. I wouldn't have been looking up, but we knew it wasn't. We knew it was close, like close enough, but it was Randy that was like, it's up in the tree. And I was like, whoa. I still remember. It was mythical.
Almost. Can you see it? Is the image burned?
Oh, it was like a
Yeah.
Yeah, it was breathtaking.
Yeah. Yeah. What do you think, as you think about the possibility of going hunting again, what thoughts come to mind?
Oh, I definitely want to go out again. It's just finding people to go with me.
I was going to say, I'd like to be in a similar setting where it's, you know, like there's somebody who really knows what they're doing, and you know all the stuff. Like you guys had all the food, all the meals, all that stuff. Like it was basically a worry-free opportunity.
And does that allow you then to focus on
learning,
right?
Yeah, then knowing too, like, okay, if no one kills anything, we're still gonna have dinner tonight.
Yeah, right? We still got many pounds of chicken.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely.
Takes the pressure off.
That was one piece I liked though too about the food, because we were from day one we were sampling different wild meats. I mean, we had we went out fishing and found chicken of the woods mushrooms, and then we also had somebody had brought smoked duck and some Canada goose I'd never eaten. I'd never even seen Canada goose meat. I thought it looked like red meat.
Yep. Mm-hmm. It's very dark.
I was very surprised to be like, oh, that's what the inside of a goose tastes like? Okay.
Yeah, the deer meat was really good too.
I'm used to that. My uncle's the venison man.
Okay.
That's our Christmas gift every Christmas is
nice.
At least some jerky or something.
Yeah, but the meal, you know, everything you've done over there was perfect. Like the salads, the fruits, the snacks we had.
Wild rice porridge.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's always the hit.
Yeah. That was a hit.
Yeah.
You did a wonderful job.
Well,
there.
Well, thanks. Yeah. I'll pay you later. Well, I am excited to see where the three of you and everyone else at camp hopefully takes this start of your journey? Because it is. It's a long journey. And I think, like you said, Tekoa, we need to look for opportunities to engage you in similar environments. And I think, like, that was just such a great group of people. And I want to make sure people stay connected. And I know people have stayed connected. You actually are wearing something from one
yes.
of the other attendees.
So from one of the birds that we shot, we had some earrings. Well, actually, both the birds. And so our friend Jenna Wolf Jewelry, the name of her company, made me these awesome earrings that are made of the bird feathers. So
they look great.
We'll put
a picture of that and other stuff on the show notes for the
and what's
the
cool
podcast.
Is we know that's your bird too, because the mm-hmm. the tail feathers, one was much more reddish brown yeah. and
okay.
one was more gray.
Yep.
There's different
phases. Yeah, we had different colors. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yeah. Isn't that fun to see? Just those little things like that, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Seeing that different phase coloration of the same bird.
My bird was the biggest. I just
yeah. Oh, that's
what?
Right.
I begged the difference.
Just had to, you know, remind. No, we definitely, we're sure.
Right.
Well, thanks all of you for being part of it. Thanks for talking about it here tonight. And I look forward to the next stages of your journeys.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, thanks for having us.
Man, it was your idea. I wouldn't.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity.
I wouldn't have seen myself, grouse hunting.
Yeah, I can tell you, from what people have seen, from what we shared and stuff, it has sparked a lot of interest in the community.
Yes.
You know, when I made a call out, we had a lot of people who were interested, Tekoa being one. And we had other family members who joined, and now we are even having more
yes.
people who want to come out and experience what we experience. So it's a great spark, I think, and we're looking forward, man. Maybe in the next couple of years we'll be the mentees, you know, mentors.
I'm trying to get my neighbors to take me. They're always out hunting. They're like, you know, they'll just drive for an hour, go hunting for a couple hours on any old day, and I'm just like, now you can take me.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I'm definitely open to going hunting with you guys. Find some open land. Just go up there for a few hours and mm-hmm. yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. Cool. Let's do it. We'll make sure it happens.
Perfect.
Cool.
Okay. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the Modern Carnivore Podcast. You can continue the journey by going to modcarn.com.